What is rock and roll? From where did it originate? How did it turn into what it is today? These are just some of the questions answered in the history of rock and roll. Ever since the earliest exposure of the rock and roll beat in the early 50s, people have attacked and criticized the meaning and value of this form of music. Everyone, that is, but the teenagers and young adults for whom this exciting beat has become a definite part of their lives. The reason for this is that they have been made either happier or sadder because of a certain song that was popular at the time. Because of this, these songs have become classics to all those who can cherish and reminisce about those forgotten days of the past. To pick a definite date in which this new sound found its way to national attention would be too difficult to do. The reason being there were too many different recordings being exposed to various areas of the country in the early 50s for anyone to be able to say what was the first rock and roll record and on what exact date it was played. Because of this, the year 1954 would probably be the best place to begin, for at this time many of the early rock and roll recordings were beginning to achieve national popularity. In the early 50s, the music that was predominantly popular was sung by performers like Nat King Cole, Patti Page, the Ames Brothers, and the McGuire Sisters. Their songs were relaxing and enjoyed by many people because of the soothing way they were sung. However, at this same time, there was a different form of music being enjoyed by some people that originated from the rhythm and blues sounds of the Negro spirituals. True rhythm and blues were songs of emotion and feeling. However, for a more general acceptance by the public, the tempo was changed somewhat and the lyrics were changed to themes of love and romance. Consequently, a new sound was created and being sung by many Negro singing groups. A typical example of this new beat were these two songs that came out in late 1954. These two songs, G by the Crows and Earth Angel by the Penguins, were two of the earliest national hits because of their unique sound. However, the only real buying demand for these new records came from the teenagers, for the adults thought these songs were senseless and unmusical. A typical statement about the music's popularity was that the lyrics were unimportant and that some of the songs could be hits if the lyrics made no sense at all. This was never so evident as in this song that came out in the fall of 1954. Hey, donny, ding, dong, a-lang, a-lang, a-lang.
Bumbalo, ba-do-ba-do-ba-do. Oh, life could be a dream.
This song, Shaboom, sung by the Crew Cuts from Canada, sold a million records because of their novel and different approach in singing these rhythmic lyrics. In just a short time, so many new singing groups started to saturate the market with their unique sounds and catchy group names that they began to command more attention from the rest of the music industry. One popular disc jockey, Alan Freed, thought this new beat was so different that he could feel a definite rocking movement every time he played one of these songs. When he heard this vibrating beat done by a new instrumental group called Bill Haley and His Comets, he came up with the term rock and roll, a name and classification that was soon attached to this new form of music.
1, 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, rock. 5, 6, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, rock. 9, 10, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, rock. We're going to rock around the clock tonight.
Because of the influence this new sound had on the teenagers in early 1955, Bill Haley and His Comets became an instant success in this relatively new field. Rock and roll was on its way, but it still needed something to really make an impression on the youngsters of America. It needed some giants in the industry to build this music around. In late 1955, a West Coast recording firm found one of the early giants of the industry in this young singer. Little Richard, as he was called, a young Negro gospel singer, had a way of singing with such deep feeling and emotion that teenagers would react frantically whenever they heard the beat of his wild piano and listened to his shrieking voice. His contribution to rock and roll that year established him as one of the early greats in the field. 1955 also became a good year for many other recording artists to get their breaks and gain national attention as well.
Hey, baby, what do I have to do to make you love me too?
How about to roll with me, Henry?
All right, baby.
Roll with me, Henry.
Don't mean maybe.
Roll with me, Henry.
Give me whole time.
Roll with me, Henry.
Won't change my mind.
Roll with me, Henry. You better roll while the running is on. Roll on.
Boom, boom, boom.
When you dance, be sure to hold her tight. When you dance, you'll squeeze her, yeah, with all your might. Such a thrill, oh, when she's close to you, well, hold her tight.
When you dance.
By the latter part of 1955 and early 1956, artists like Bill Haley and Little Richard, combined with the efforts of other early greats like Fats Domino, Elvis Presley, and Chuck Berry, started rock and roll snowballing with a constant deluge of hit records one after another. Not only did these artists cause the craze to spread, but group after group, performer after performer, hopped on the musical bandwagon so that by the end of 1956, rock and roll was getting to be one of the biggest profit-making forms of music in the whole country.
In the still of the night.
During 1957, rock and roll was becoming the biggest sound on radio and on all the jukeboxes. Many radio stations started changing their formats to a fast-paced production of up-tempo records because of the demand by the teenagers for many of the new songs and artists that were appearing on the musical scene. A big step in the furthering of rock and roll music came when Dick Clark's American Bandstand television show, which originated in Philadelphia, was syndicated from coast to coast for the whole country to see. This had a tremendous effect on the sales of records, for not only could everyone see all of the popular singing artists each day, but they could also learn some of the latest dances at the same time. Here are just some of the artists that were seen for the first time singing these songs on that nationally seen show in 1957. In just a short time, rock and roll became something of a way of life for youngsters all over the country. Consequently, the music was able to flourish and spread to the furthest corners of the United States. A contributing factor to this growth was that the steady, pulsating drive of the music itself seemed to trigger off the emotions of the dancers in such a manner that for a few frantic seconds, they would be able to forget themselves and attain a personality that was completely different from their real selves. The lyrics of the recording, surprisingly enough, were unimportant. The beat was the important thing. The years 1958 and 1959 were a couple of big years in the rock and roll era because of some of the great songs that helped to establish this musical dynasty. For example, 1958 had some classics like this to offer.
One song.
Then there was 1959 with its great collection of hits that will be remembered for many, many years.